This is Stephen Strang. Today is September 11th. I realize a podcast will be up for a long time, but I wanted to talk today on the anniversary of the terrible terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, D.C., with a man that has helped America understand what was going on. His name is Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He wrote The Harbinger, and we're going to talk about it today on The Strang Report. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I am so honored to have Jonathan Cahn, Messianic Rabbi from Wayne, New Jersey, on the program today. Everyone who knows me knows how proud I am to have been able to publish The Harbinger, the biggest book we have ever published, and really a prophetic book that really helped people to understand what was going on with 9/11. So let me welcome you. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule. I know you're doing a lot of media, including some secular media in New York City. So let me just ask this question, first of all. How did you get the revelation about what happened on 9/11 and how that turned into The Harbinger?
Well, I was literally standing on the corner of Ground Zero, and I saw the tree that had been struck down, and something said, "You have to search this. You have to seek this out. There's something here." And so I did. You know, I went to the scriptures. I went to study, and then that became the first kind of puzzle piece that led to the next one. The next one led me to Isaiah 9:10 with the sycamore, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then every single thing in that scripture was, I would then see that's the next thing is there. It happened, and things would just, you know, the same way that. It came that way. With the paradigm, it came that way. With the latest, the Oracle, it came that way. That things would come into my mind, which I didn't know if they were so or not, you know, but something saying there's something there, go, you know, look. And then, or could this be? And then I'd go and I'd start, you know, digging it up and all, and there it was. There it was. So, you know, and there would always be kind of supernatural, quote, coincidences that things would come at the exact moment I needed something, like with the Isaiah 9:10, which is that scripture of linked to judgment that was linked to 9/11, linked to ancient Israel, I already had that. That scripture was there from the beginning. After I started seeking with that tree, I was led to that scripture. So everything was following that scripture. But I had no idea until the end when I typed that scripture in. Instead of getting the scripture, I got the Annals of the United States Congress, and it was at that moment that I saw on the day after 9/11, that was the very scripture that was proclaimed. But I had no idea, you know, until the end of that. So I was just being led, you know, led along by God's grace. I couldn't reproduce, you know, the process, you know, with any of that, from the Harbinger to the Oracle. I couldn't reproduce the process, but it's a God thing.
Well, every year when 9/11 rolls around, there's a lot of television programs and documentaries and different things. And Joy and I were watching one the other night. You know, of course, we vividly remember what happened that fateful day. America couldn't believe what had happened. I remembered actually thinking, is this the beginning of World War III? I mean, we didn't really know. Airplanes crashing into the Twin Towers, them collapsing while we watched on national television. It was just amazing. And then, you know, it's like, what is going on? And then suddenly this Messianic rabbi writes a fiction book about this obscure scripture in Isaiah. Now, I've read through the scripture many times and read the book of Isaiah in the process and never noticed that scripture. But tell me and my listeners what that scripture is in Isaiah 9:10.
Yeah, and just for those, for any who may not know, I don't know how many, but when we say fiction, you know, just that's the framing of it, but what's revealed is real, you know, including the scripture. Everything, the Harbinger, the revelations are real. Actually, I wrote it originally nonfiction and then rewrote the whole thing with the story to frame it.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. I should have said, I've explained to people that it's like C.S. Lewis. you know, there was no Wormwood, but in talking to Wormwood and the different characters in the Screwtape Letters, he was talking about eternal truth. And this is what you did. You had a journalist and a wise man talking about these things, and what they were saying was true, but the conversations themselves were, I guess you would say, fictional.
Right. It's a delivery system, you know, and to do that. So yes. And that's true with all of them. I mean, I've either written nonfiction or you know, with a narrative, a fictional narrative to reveal what is real. Well, the scripture is Isaiah 9:10, and that is, you know, where it says that there was an attack on ancient Israel, and God allowed it, warning them. It was a wake-up call. They'd been falling away from God, and they had been, you know, rejecting all his warnings. And then finally, he let the hedge of protection of that nation be lifted temporarily, and an attack came on the land. And it was temporary, but it was you know, a traumatic blow, and it was also one of terrorism. It involved the fathers of all terrorists were part of that particular attack. And so when that happened, the people, instead of coming back to God or seeking him, they responded the opposite. They responded with a vow of defiance that the leaders would have spoken, the people would have spoken, a vow of defiance where they said, well, the bricks have fallen in that attack, but we will rebuild with hewn stone, with stronger stone. The sycamore trees have been struck down, but we will plant cedars, a stronger tree, in its place. In other words, we're not going to be humbled by this. You know, we're not going to learn anything. We're not going to seek anything. We've done nothing wrong. We're going to, in fact, come back stronger. We're going to rise higher. We're going to defy this. And the thing is, that's exactly what was happening after 9/11. I mean, there was an initial turn, people coming to churches for about three weeks. No repentance, though. And then the calls were, we're coming back stronger and greater and bigger, and but nothing. We did the same thing that ancient Israel did, and all the signs, the nine harbingers that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel, now started appearing in America. You know, from 9/11 itself, to the fallen sycamore tree, to the replacing of it, to the hewn stones, all that, and to the actual vows that followed word for word. Actually, we're quoting him. You know, American leaders are speaking the words of Israel's ancient leaders, pronouncing judgment on America, quoting them, and not knowing what they're saying.
And now, 18 years after it happened, what do you think, if anything, America has learned from those attacks?
Well, there are those who have come to the Lord, you know, at the time because of it, and those who have, there are prayer movements and all those. But as a whole, America, I mean, of course, there are many believers, and of course, there are many people who have read The Harbinger, and personally, you know, their lives are one thing. But as a nation, you know, America responded to that with repentance, not by turning to God. Without the first signs were there, and that was it. It has responded exactly as Israel did, and that's that. And it has now gone farther as Israel did. We you know, instead of getting closer to God, we've grown farther away. I mean, look at America on 9/11, 18 years ago, and you know, even then we were saying, look how America's falling away from God. It's nothing compared to where it is now. You know, so everything is following Israel. You know, everything is following that where there's not repentance, it's going in the wrong direction. Overall, the opposite direction, away from God, in morality, in life, in the gospel, falling away in every way. And what the Harbinger is warning is that if it continues on that path, that's a path of judgment and calamity. And if America doesn't turn back, that's where that goes.
And what do you think is going to happen?
I pray for revival. I'm praying for revival, like, every day. I am hoping for that. Does it look like it? No. Do I see it? No. I mean, there are pockets of revival, but national, I don't see it at all. I don't see the signs of it at all. But I'm not giving up. I'm praying for it. So I believe that without revival, that America is lost, you know, without revival. I believe, and this goes into the other book, which is Link, which is the paradigm, and that is that there's another pattern we're following from the same nation, you know, and that deals with the people, but that at one point God gave a window of time to Israel to turn back to him, and actually used a man named Jehu, you know, who there's a link with Donald, with Trump, with our president, and that we're in a window of time where much is being held back. But even with it, this window of time, with it being held back, it's still falling, you know. But if that window ends without a revival, it's not about the window, it's about the purpose of the window, which is revival or turning back. If that window ends without that, it's going to be a flood. You know, we have laws ready, the Equality Act ready to go, would go in the moment the Republicans lose the Senate or the presidency or the White House, and that will be devastating to religious freedom, to the gospel, to immorality, and many more. That's just one of it. The you know, in politics, we're watching a polarization and a radicalization regarding abortion, regarding religious freedom, regarding morality. So, and that's with something holding it back. But how much more if that's removed without revival?
Boy, that's a dire warning, but it's something that we need to take to heart, and people need to pray, and we need to be active and stand up against this. There have been other very serious times in history, you know, the Civil War, of course, World War II, really all the wars. There have been other times, too, and you know, I just believe that God has raised you up as a prophet, and I just pray that America takes this to heart and turns from our wicked ways, you know, like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and that we can have revival in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, I when I was new, Steve, when I first came to the Lord, I came to the Lord in 1979, and the right in that period, if you remember that period, it was hostages in Iran, you know, double digit inflation, or you know, gas lines, employment double digit. I mean, it looked like America was falling apart. Jimmy Carter was the president. The rescue mission in Iran that fell apart. It looked like the American age, the sun was setting on it, and there was a call for believers to gather in Washington. With that scripture that you just mentioned, which is that famous scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. And we did. I remember I was there. And I remember two major prayers that were prayed that day. And one was that where the military was helpless, that God himself would release the hostages from Iran. And number two, that God would bring to power, to the White House, to the government, those whom he wanted. And then what happened was there was like a revolution at the polls. And it's not about politics, but and that's when you had Christians re-entering politics and talk about revival and the city on the hill and Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan came into power, and he changed the date of the place of the inauguration. He did it on the side that we were all where we were standing and placing our hands to those steps that God would put who he wanted in power. Well, he was standing right there. The inauguration has been there ever since on the other side. And that very hour that he was sworn in, the hostages were released. The two prayers in the same hour, the same place, and it was all based on that scripture, if my people, and Ronald Reagan was sworn into power and literally saw history change at that time, sworn into power with his hand on a Bible, and the Bible, his hand was on a scripture, if my people who are called by my name. So I saw history change. I saw God do it. I mean, literally, the history of America and the world changed. It could happen again, but the big two words there are, or three, are if and my people.
Amen. And that's a good place to stop. We could talk about this for so long, but I appreciate you coming on my podcast. And I'd like to invite you to come back to talk about your newest book called The Oracle, which just released very, very recently and is already a major bestseller. So with that, Rabbi Kahn, I'll thank you and thank my listeners for listening. Please share this podcast with your friends, forward it to them, or put it on social media. We want to get the word out. So thank you, and God bless you for listening to the Strang Report today. I'm Stephen Strang. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.